Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you, waiting Mike Vrabel to step up to the podium. We'll get to him in just a second. Preds fans, hang out before the Preds games at the Superbook Lounge and Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville on Broadway with 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. You can place your bets with Superbook and enjoy great food and drink specials, plus enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Let's head to St. Thomas Sports Park and hear from Mike Vrabel.
Crossroads last week. What is the challenge in trying to, now you've got to go on the road, four games left, and try and hold on to your spot on top of the division?
Well, the challenge is just getting back to eliminating bad football. You know, I mean, we have too many opportunities to do good things, and we have to eliminate bad football. You know, whether it's turnovers, whether it's those turnovers and sudden change, you know, affecting the quarterback or not being able to affect their quarterback, not being good at the end of a half situationally. You know, just those things where, you know, we have to be, you know, whether they're not lined up and we're not ready to go, you know, that would be another instance. So there's a lot of those things, and that's the challenge. It's not looking ahead to how many games we have left. It's, you know, making sure that we eliminate bad football and that we find ways to go out there and play complimentary, which we've done. Certainly haven't done it here recently.
What type of character you want this time of adversity to show that this team has?
Well, I mean, we all have a choice. You know, we have a power to choose how we walk in here. I've said that, and how we approach this. Would like them to, you know, all of us to make sure that we're doing our part, you know, to fix the things that have to be fixed, to recognize the good things, to eliminate or fix the bad things, and then, you know, rid ourselves of the things that get you beat, which are turnovers and you know, mistakes and, you know, just the things that happened yesterday, not playing complimentary.
Eliminating the bad football, is that something you can clean up on the practice field, meeting rooms? How do you?
Well, I mean, I hope so. I mean, but you get to a point now where, you know, you're late in the season, guys are beat up. You know, how much can you realistically practice, how many reps you can practice, how many bodies that you have practicing with. So I hope that it's a combination of both, Jim. I hope that it's a combination of, you know, taking the meetings, you know, and being able to walk through, taking the walkthrough corrections and using the ones that we have in speed and practice and hitting them. You know, there was, you know, a lot of things that showed up in the game that, you know, we fixed throughout the week. And then, unfortunately, there was things that we didn't, and we weren't able to hit it or use it to our advantage.
Trying to gauge the overall physical well-being of your team, I mean, how much do you rely on the information that you have through, you know, tracking devices and things these days, and how much is it you just like or don't like what you see on the field on Sunday?
Well, you talked about management, and then you talked about the tracking, and then it was to what I don't like or like what I like. I'm trying to view, like, as far as speed, or
you feel like, I mean, do you say, I, based on the numbers we have, I expect we're going to be really physical and fresh and things on Sunday, and oh my gosh, we're not? Or
well, like, I mean, I think you try to view, you know, the health of the team, about how they, you know, each individual player, what they look like, what they feel like. You know, everybody's beat up this time of year. You know, we have to try to do everything that we can do physically to get their bodies back. They have to do their part as well, and then manage practice, you know, accordingly.
How beat up is Jeffrey right now, Mike? Do you feel like that's been kind of dragging him down recently, the ankle?
Well, he's, you know, Jeff's not at 100%. You know, that's something that we've had to manage, and that, you know, I appreciate his willingness to help us and manage it and get through and do everything that he possibly can, you know, to get to the games.
Along those lines, DeNico was a guy that, you know, really affected things, it seemed like, in going after the quarterback. Is he any closer to being able to return?
I hope so. I hope he is. Could use everybody.
I know you're a teacher first in a lot of ways. I was asking you yesterday, I did a bad job. Do you ever change things where do you ever come into a meeting with them angry, light them up, anything like that? Or is that not part of the way you operate because you're a teacher?
Well, I mean, I think my job is to make sure that, you know, we're pointing out those things. I think there's a couple different ways to go about doing it. And I've done it a multitude of ways. I've done it differently. You know, sometimes the things I say, Paul, somehow in a twisted, warped way may make me feel better. I don't know if that makes, you know, the situation better. So I've tried to balance that. I really believe, you know, that I have. I think what they, you know, what you see is what you get. You know, I think that I'm always going to try to be honest with them. I'm always going to try to point out the things. You know, but I do believe that my tone as the head coach of this football team is important. I think it's, you know, again, trying to come in here today after a loss, after three losses where we're at, you know, is still important to make sure that, you know, we're all held accountable, that we're doing things that are positive, but also the outlook has to be positive as well.
That twisted, warped way maybe have a degree of venting to it at times?
I mean, I don't want to go in there and vent. I want to go in there and make sure that that there's a clear vision of what we have to do, find out who we have available, and get them ready for the football game. That's it.
Last week you talked about, you know, rationalizing where you were at. You had two tough losses to the Chiefs and mm-hmm. Bengals, and then a bad day in Philly. Do you take that same approach to this game of rationalizing
how you got there? No, I mean, it's pretty easy to see if you just follow the keys and understand the turnovers, the inability to, you know, affect the quarterback, our inability to get into a – we answered back in the first half offensively. We didn't in the second half. You know what I mean? And then by the time we got back on track offensively, it was just too little too late. Thought there were some good things in the run game. Thought there were some good things in the red zone. I thought we had a good flow. We, you know, to start the game, we went on a drive. We complimented each other. The plays complimented one another. You know, I mean, there's not a whole lot of to ration. I think it's just reality of that when you do those things in this league, you have no chance to win.
Yesterday, kind of what you envisioned when you drafted him?
There were some good things. I think the statistics, you know, probably cloud some of the overall play. There was some mistakes that, you know, I felt like he made. But, you know, there was some production, which was good, and some corrections that he made, and, you know, the execution in the red zone. But there were just, you know, some other things that, you know, didn't really help us.
How unique is his ability to stay on his feet and keep grinding when he's got two or three guys hanging on him?
Yeah, he's got, you know, I mean, good play strength with the football in his hand, and, you know, went in there, ran behind him some, ran, worked some of the other run schemes, and, you know, again, plays on the punt team. So we're asking him to do a lot, but it's just some of the other details that have to get cleaned up. And, you know, there's some really cool finishes and pile pushes in there, and the, you know, 20-second play where, you know, guys are into it and tuned in later in the game. You know, Dennis is down there running in there, you know, trying to push the pile on a pass as the first one out of the stack. So there's a lot of good things from that regard. You know, but just the overall execution and the flow of the game wasn't good enough.
You've got a three and out 10 times coming out of halftime. During this three-game losing streak, you've had negative 33 yards on the opening drive of the third quarter. Is that a failure to adjust coming out of halftime? What's going wrong?
No, we had some egregious penalties and mistakes. So, I mean, it's first and 22, give up a sack, and third and 27, and we don't block for a screen that nobody's going to convert, but hopefully we can help the punt team and get the screen started so then we can use our punter to maybe change field position. So,
for the season on 10 three and outs?
You know, evaluating, you know, everything. It's execution. It's our ability to coach them and make sure that the details are fixed. And, you know, it's just not one thing.
Dylan Cole's particularly hard on himself after his shortcomings yesterday. Is that kind of the reaction you want to see from guys coming out of a loss like that?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that, you know, it means a lot to everybody. It means a lot, you know, to Dylan. He's got to play better. You know, so you know, we'll try to make those corrections and see see where we go next week.
But what did Rod Rice do first time back, and are you hopeful you get maybe Traylon back in the mix at practice this week?
And we'll see where Traylon is. I'm not going to comment on anybody that's in the protocol. That's not my job. My job is to tell him to be honest with the doctor and the trainer and to check in on him to see how he's feeling. It's not my position to predict whether we'll get him back at practice. As far as Racy, I thought that Racy put a lot of work in mentally in his time away. So from an assignment standpoint, it was good. I think probably knocking some of the rust off on the special teams. And I think physically he came out okay.
But with that, going back to Dylan and how he took that situation, do you like find yourself when you're talking to a guy like that, you have to remind them, hey, you know what, on top of the division, still have control of your own destiny, or even have to remind yourself of that?
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, we have to play better. We have to, again, eliminate the bad football. And, you know, remind them that he wasn't the only one. I mean, nobody did anything that was good enough, consistently enough for us to win.
You've been emphasizing the formula, Mike, and the importance of the run game and the formula. How do you get so far away from Derek after 96 yards in the first quarter?
well, I mean, I think that the way that the game went, you know, again, we tried to, you know, I think on the one possession, tried to, you know, get a play to Chig. He went 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage, which wasn't what we wanted to do. We tried to get a catch and run, and then, you know, that led to a three and out. And then obviously in the second half, you know, with the way that the game went, you know, we couldn't, you know, it was tough to commit to Derek in the run game.
You guys have been consistent in preaching the next man up mantra. You've had success with that. But is there a challenge now to keep the positivity you're talking about and the confidence level high when essentially the message here last week from ownership was that the roster isn't good enough to keep doing that this season?
I don't think we have any other choice. That's what we have to do. Let's figure out who we have and get them ready to go play a game, take care of the football, try to have some ball production on defense. You know, it's been a long time since we've, you know, created a turnover or hit anybody hard enough to knock the ball loose or intercept it or tip it up in the air and catch it.
Chargers last night, and what are the challenges they present to your defense?
Well, I mean, they throw the football, and you know, they're going to commit to it. They've got young quarterback with a live arm and good skill players. Like, you know, we'll have to worry about the Chargers and our ability. We got to fix, correct some mistakes here today.
Looking at the Dontrell situation from a distance was pretty scary. How is he doing
today? He's doing much better. Thank you. You know, I don't think, you know, Dontrell won't be available this week, obviously. And so, you know, we'll continue to monitor him. I've seen him and today. And so he's doing good, which is the most important thing.
How difficult is it this time of year, Mike, to plug and play guys when you get towards the end of the season, guys who you can rely on?
You know, they come in on Wednesday, got a couple of days to prepare and learn a game plan and figure out adjustments and checks. And, you know, like John Reed last week or Terrell Basham or anybody else that's going to come in this week. You know, that's the job that we have to try to get them ready to go.
I'm sure you talked about new sod and footwear choices, but still you had several guys that we're slipping all over the place. What kind of discussion is there before? What kind of discussion is there after? When it seems to be a factor, particularly in missed tackle.
You choose that work. I mean, I'm changing the sod. We got 18 pairs of cleats in there that everybody can wear, and shoes that work. Stay on your feet.
Well, you have to bring in another before, Mike. So how come guys don't get it?
How come guys slip? I don't know.
You need to bring in another
quarterback this week.
Yeah, we'll take a look at it. Yeah.
That's Chestnut again. You mentioned no Hilliard. Does that mean Chestnut maybe in the mix more again this week? And how's he been with his recent opportunities?
Well, did some good things on the kickoff last week. Had the kickoff returns, you know, this week. It, you know, hit it up in there, got us a decent average. You know, I mean, we'll work him into the punt team. And so I think that Julius is going to try to do everything he can if the opportunity presents himself this week. So, you know, we've liked Julius since he got here. Very willing, very conscientious, great teammate. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Here we go. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel addressing the media after their loss yesterday to the Jags. We will come back and react to that. Derek and I are going to make sure we got the right shoes for the sod. We'll do that. Coming up next, Chase Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, presented by Hair Club. Regrow your own natural hair through non-surgical options that deliver impressive results. Hair Club, love your hair, live your life. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. I appreciate Mike Vrabel addressing the media. That's what he's obligated to do, but doing that just a few minutes ago. You can weigh in on some things that you've heard or react to yesterday's loss to the Jags, 615-737-1025. That's our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So I'm surprised and not surprised at the same time that Todd Downing didn't come up in the press conference. I mean, I'm not surprised because I think everybody knows if they ask about him, he's not going to answer it anyway. He's going to deflect and he's going to say, got to coach better, got to play better and all that stuff. But I'm going to defend that a little bit because I think the owner, you know, even if he wasn't going to fire Todd Downing, he's not going to fire him until the end of the year, if at all. But I don't think it would have been midseason. But now he can't. He can't fire him midseason. The owner took that away from him. When she fired John Robinson last week, it took away him making a move on his coaching staff in the season, I think.
No, I think you're right. And I don't think we're sitting here saying that.
And again, I'm not saying selective hearing people. I'm saying I didn't think he was going to do it anyway.
Exactly.
But
now that thought or that ability to possibly do it is gone because of the owner firing the GM. So you don't want then another distraction to fall upon this team. And it would be a distraction that you created and not a creation outside of the football building by somebody else. So I don't think he's going to fire him. And I don't know if he's going to fire him after the season. It's, you know, I guess we got to wait until then. What I'm wondering about this team moving forward, because we've seen this, and I'm going to keep going back to the crossroad thing, you know, this team being at a crossroads. Was he saying the team meaning organization, or the team meaning the players, or the team meaning players and coach? We all are at a crossroads right now. I go back to 2000. Yeah, I think it was 2000 after the Super Bowl year. I think that team was at a crossroads. Not a bad crossroads, but a crossroads in hey, listen, are we going to continue to just be 3-4 yards in a cloud of dust and play great defense, or are we going to step into the new millennium? Are we going to step into this new era of football that is coming up? And we chose, because of who our offensive coordinator was, Mike Heimerdinger, we chose to step away from just being a ground and pound team. We became more of a balanced team, and at times we became more of a passing team than we were a running team, because I think Heimerdinger realized that, listen, Eddie gave y'all some great years, but he's at the end. He's hurt, and the NFL is moving. We need to move with the NFL. We need to get more creative on offense. We need to score some points offensively. We have the quarterback to do it. We have the receivers to do it. Let's do it now. And we did. And, you know, it it afforded us to, you know, be one of the better teams in the National Football League for, you know, 2 or 3 years. And then we got hit with a bunch of injuries, and we still was an explosive offense, but we couldn't stop nobody because we had nobody on defense. All right. Of our great defensive players were hurt. I'm wondering if that's where the Titans are at now. Meaning, are they going to – because Vrabel said this in a press conference, I think last week, that this is how you win football games. This is how we've won throughout the Titans' history. Run the football, smash mouth, and play really good defense. I understand that, and I get it. But eventually, you're going to have to get with the times. You can still be effective running the football, but in order to score points, you got to start passing the football. Now, granted, this year, they're unable to do it, you know, but I want to see moving forward, will that mindset or that philosophy change? Because the NFL is changing. The NFL is no longer pounding ground and play great defense. You got to be able to pass the ball efficiently and effectively in this league. And the Titans don't do that. And I'm just wondering if Mike Vrabel, at the end of the season, will he see that? Will the new GM see that and say, you know what? We're not going to go totally away from Derrick Henry because we can't. But we are going to show we're going to be more assertive in putting together a roster that can pass the ball if and when we need to. And they haven't been able to do that.
Coming up next, do you believe Mike Vrabel's answer when he talked about halftime adjustments? I want to get Derek's thoughts on that. All of you as well, 615-737-1025. It's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game.
You've got a 3 and out 10 times coming out of halftime during this 3-game losing streak. You've had negative 33 yards on the opening drive of the third quarter. Is that a failure to adjust coming out of halftime? What's going wrong?
No, we had some egregious penalties and mistakes. So, I mean, it's 1st and 22, give up a sack, and 3rd and 27, and we don't block for a screen that nobody's going to convert. But hopefully, we can help the punt team and get the screen started, so then we can use our punter to maybe change field position. So,
Mike Vrabel on second half adjustments. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. We'll talk to Willie. Willie will check in from St. Louis. Preds and Blues tonight. I'll have pregame for you at 6. Also monitoring in the next 30 minutes if Ellie Tolvanen is claimed off waivers. So we'll keep you updated there. But on halftime adjustments, I thought it was a fair question by Paul Kuharsky. Mike did his normal deflecting game, even though I don't necessarily disagree. I think penalties and mistakes, you know, certainly come into play here, that you can't commit dumb penalties. You can't throw the ball away or, you know, throw it to the other team, fumble, all those things. But I do think it is a problem because I think the opponent has been better at adjusting at the half than you have. I just simply think that that's been the case when it comes to your offense.
Well, I mean, again, numbers don't lie. Derrick Henry had almost 100 yards, if not 100 yards, before half, and I think he ended up not even over 120 yards for the game or 130 yards for the game. That's telling me that, you know, you chose not to because you knew coming out of the half that the Jacksonville Jaguars, from a defensive standpoint, was going to adapt. They were not going to allow Derrick Henry to run, or at least they were going to try to not let him run wild like he did in the first half. And for whatever reason, as an offensive coordinator and offense, you didn't show any life in the second half. You didn't show anything that made Jacksonville get out of what they were doing. You didn't threaten them in no way, because they continue to play their defense and you continue to give them the game. You turn the ball over and you could not get your run game established in the second half. Again, the second half woes have been, you know, they've been documented, you know, going back to the beginning of the season, and we thought they'd gotten better. But then you look at the last three games, Philadelphia, 39 yards of total offense in the second half. Cincinnati, 137 yards and two field goals in the second half. And then this past game where you had 30 plays, 100 yards, and one fumble. Oh, by the way, and let's look at the first half in this past game. First half, 32 plays, 240 yards, and two touchdowns. That tells me you didn't do what you needed to do in the second half of each one of these games over the last 3 weeks. And oh, by the way, your quarterback's been sacked 10 times in two games.
Yeah, that's kind of a problem.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
And look, to your point earlier, you know, they turned the ball over three times in the first half, and I kind of think it took it out of them. I think they were demoralized. Now, here's where I'll counter that a little bit. And this is what I don't understand yet. I think I do kind of understand. So, fourth quarter, at this point, they're down. They're down at the end of the. They're down 33-14. Okay, so going into the fourth quarter, they're able to hold Jacksonville. They get the ball back. That's where Derrick Henry fumbled out of the shotgun, and so Jacksonville gets it. They hold him to a field goal. So 36-14 at that point. Then the Titans get the ball. Dennis Daly does his Fred Miller impression, gets the false start. But they move the ball out of the no huddle and the tempo right down the field. Score.
Yeah.
NWI gets a touchdown. Why does the no tempo work so well for them? Or is it at that point in the game, Jacksonville kind of knows they have it in the bag, so they're going to play soft defense.
Yeah, Jacksonville wants them to. And because you see this all the time across the league where a team's down 14 points, 21 points, 10 points, whatever, and it's, you know, maybe 2 or 3 minutes left in the game. And teams are just moving the ball down the field. And you're thinking in your head, like, man, why couldn't they do this? Like in quarter one, two, and three, why did they wait to the fourth quarter with 4 minutes left to get on a roll like this? Well, because the defense is allowing you to do just that. The defense will give up 5 yards, 5 yards, 7 yards, because you know what's happening, especially when you ain't got no timeouts. You know what's happening? The clock is rolling. The clock is going. They want you to drive the length of the field. They want you to take up the clock. So they're going to give everything. Just give them the catch. If you know, we're not giving up anything deep. Protect deep. If they catch a short pass, come up and tackle them. Anything past 10 yards, contest it. So it's easy to go and say, for any one of us, say, man, why they can't move the ball like that? Well, because defenses are not playing that way during quarter one, two, and three. Now, if they got you up 21 points, 14 points like the Jaguars had the Titans, then they're going to allow them to throw the ball here, throw the ball there. But they're going to make them drive the length of the field to do it. And in driving the length of the field, they're banking that you're going to make a mistake somewhere, and or we're going to get a sack, and then it throws you out of what you want to do. And that's exactly what happened. After the score, they did it again. But what happened when they got to the 20? Sack.
Yep.
Now it puts you second and 28.
And then third and 18.
Yeah, then 30. Exactly. So defenses allows you, offenses, to do stuff like that. That's why we see it, you know, throughout the league. It's easier to move the ball, you know, into the game when teams are down more than 14 points. It's easy for an offense to move the ball because the defense is going to give you that.
Yeah, it feels like, you know, they get in that 2 minute that up tempo, and it seems to work for them.
Yeah, maybe they should try some of it. Just try it. Period.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know. But this is not
that
who
seems
the Titans
to fit
are.
Tannehill.
But that's not who the Titans are.
Now, I know, but it fits the quarterback, and that's the thing.
And I think it helps out the receivers.
Yeah. I think the less that it's just like, hey, here are our plays. We don't have to think about it. This is what we're going to do. And, I mean, because even that drive that ended up getting stalled out, you know, he was hitting some pretty big plays. So, incomplete pass to Woods on first down. Second down, Tannehill scrambled for 8 yards. Third down, third and two, pass short to Westbrook Akina for 8 yards. Then he hits Hooper for 17, incomplete, hits.
That was
Chig
a nice catch by
year.
Hooper, too.
That was.
See, I mean, God does good. I'm going to give it up for him.
Look, Chig and Hooper, they're a two-headed monster right mm-hmm. now, and they need to use that even more. I love what they're doing with that.
And we've said that when Chig's on the field, it benefits who? It benefits Austin Hooper when Chig's on the field.
Just like if
Treylon Burks on the field,
it benefits Woods.
Exactly.
Because Woods has struggled. Now, he made a couple of decent plays yesterday, but he had some misses too. Mm-hmm. Like the one where he wasn't even looking for the ball, didn't even know it was coming to him.
The interception? No, not the
interception. No, there wasn't an interception. Basically, he turns around, it kind of hits him. He didn't know it was coming.
Man, I'm
I'd have to go
remember.
Back and
okay.
look when it was.
No, I mean – When you find a way to get your playmakers involved, it helps everybody else. Chig being involved helps Austin Hooper. When Treylon Burks is in a game, when Treylon is playing well and he's catching balls down the field, it helps, you know, Robert Woods and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. But, unfortunately, Treylon Burks is hurt. So this receiving core goes from being okay to not okay. And, you know, this team, you know, for whatever reason, and honestly, we've laid out a bunch of them, they struggle at times. They struggle at times because they can't. They're not a team because James Lofton said this on air yesterday. I think it was toward the end of the game. He said, some teams are meant and put together and built to come back from deficits 10, 14 points. Some teams, Kansas City, Buffalo, Eagles, teams like that, they're put together to even the Chargers from an offensive standpoint. They're put together, assembled with the premise of, okay, if we ever get down 10 points, 14 points, can we come back? Yes, they can't come back. Why? Because they have the quarterback. They got some receivers. This team is not built to come back from more than 14-point deficits late in the game. They're just not. Why? Because their identity and what they want to do is run the football.
Right.
So when you have to pass the football, this team can't. They just can't do it consistently. They're not built. And that's shame on the organization, period, because they understand today's football. It's not like they don't understand it. It's not like, you know, we're in the, you know, Walsh or Seifert era where, you know, this type of offense, don't nobody see it, and everybody else is still playing, running, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust and great defense, but you got San Francisco 49ers, they got this high-powered up-tempo offense. It's not like that anymore. When you put together your team, you know what the NFL is about. Protect the quarterback, scoring a lot of points. That's how you win in this league. The Titans haven't figured that out yet, or they haven't kept guys so they can be that type of team. You can still be a run-first team, but you also got to have the ability. If they shut down everything we do in running, okay, we're fine. We're going shotgun, and we can pass the ball around the yard. The Titans are not built that way, and that's sad because the NFL has been trending that way for the last 5 to 7 years.
Yep, no doubt about it. 615-737-1025. That's our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Your reaction to the 36-22 loss to the Jags yesterday. And coming up next, Amy Adams Strunk spoke to Teresa Walker of the Associated Press on Friday. Do we believe her? We'll discuss that next. But first, Derek has a word on Cool Springs MD.
Yes, and I'm talking to all my men listeners out there. I need to tell you about Cool Springs MD. Over the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife, Daphne, along with that experienced staff, give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of Brentwood, Nashville, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune system, cognitive functions, and more. And their energy levels, people, because my energy levels were low. And I tell you this every time, for about a month straight. And I went over there and I went to Cool Springs MD and Dr. Jeffrey Lodge. And I'm feeling much better now. So if you're feeling the way that I did, where your energy levels are low and your cognitive functions are not there, then listen, you need to make an appointment now because you need a healthy lifestyle. So here is the number to make your appointment today. 615-486-3458. That's 615-486-3458. Or visit their website at coolspringsmd.com.
This was my decision. I saw on social media that, Mike gave Amy an ultimatum. That is just so false. That it never happened. People that say that don't know Mike Vrabel. That would not be something he would say or do. And he actually had a great relationship with John. So I want to put that to rest right now.
Amy Adams Strunk with Teresa Walker of the AP. Appreciate them for letting us use that. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. So do we believe her?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I have no other reason but, I guess, to believe her. But it is funny how, you know, all these, you know, people, coaches and all this, and we don't listen to, we don't look at social media. We don't read papers. We don't do all that stuff. But then they quote something from a social media account. Like, really? You never listen to this stuff? Really? But then you quote it or bring it up.
Somebody told me that.
Okay. Somebody tried to sell me. Somebody sold me a bridge in New York too that I bought. But I mean, I have no reason not to believe her, in a sense. But there's always that. Well, why did you do it now? You know, not the firing period. It's just the time. And I think that's what, at least in this building, that's what we've talked about. It hasn't been, well, why did you fire my, even though I don't agree with it, because I thought John was good. He has his flaws. Every GM does. But why now? That's the question. Like, why now? And, you know, she's said, hey, listen, she don't like to wait. Well, if you don't like to wait, and this is your team, you've seen this offense been it's been bad. It's been at times unwatchable. It's been from, other than the running game, it's been hard to watch. But you didn't tell Mike to fire the offensive coordinator. I see that. That's what I don't get. You've watched the GM, and you got to a point with the GM. You said enough is enough, and you fired him. And again, that's you are the owner of this team, and I'm not sitting here debating the firing. I'm just debating the timing. But even with that said, you still continue to let the offensive coordinator have his job and do his job when this offense, from a passing standpoint, has been bad. From a consistency standpoint, has been bad. So are you blaming, so are you saying that I'm blaming John for all of that? For the offensive coordinator's, you know, woes, for the offensive woes, for where this team is at, I'm blaming John Robinson for that. So I'm firing him and him alone.
Apparently.
I guess there's my answer, but you see what I'm saying? It's like you will make the decision and stand on that decision, which is great, of firing your head coach, but you got a person, and listen, I'm not calling for Downing's job during the season, but if you're going to do that, then why didn't you address this offensive coordinator thing? Why haven't you addressed that?
Well, because I wonder if Vrabel looks at it as the same way we've kind of looked at it with Robinson. You can point to reasons why John Robinson got fired.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's – you can. I can sit here and I can say the last two – well, I say the 20 draft and the 21 draft for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The Julio Jones trade for sure. Mm-hmm. Vic Beasley signing him. I mean, he's had a lot of misses that have added up. Okay, we can all agree with that. So, you know, my whole thing was I was surprised by the timing.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that John had enough good that it justified allowing him an opportunity to fix it. She didn't feel that way. It's her team. She can do what she wants. That's where I was at. But I can sit here and tell you that, okay, I get the reasons. I understand that. But I think with Downing, that should have been made. I mean, I wasn't impressed with him last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he still got a chance. You know, and every excuse in the world was made. But I don't know if Vrabel was close to doing it, and then she makes the move for GM, and he's like, well, I can't do this. The team's mm-hmm. been distracted enough. You know, hell, he could come out Wednesday and go, we've relieved Todd Downing of his duties.
Yeah.
Nothing would surprise me at this point. But I really don't think that's going to happen. I think, if anything, it would be at the end of the season. I think Aukerman, you know, is one that should probably be looked at as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, who knows? Vrabel's loyal to a fault. He always has been. And sometimes I think that's his Achilles heel.
Well, will he be loyal to a point, because Malarkey was loyal as well, and see where that got him? That got him out the door.
Yeah.
Now, will Mike Vrabel be that loyal? Will she allow him to be that loyal and keep an offensive coordinator that hasn't taken his offense and made it better since he's taken over as OC? This offense has not gotten better. And granted, people will point, well, they don't have A.J. Brown. I get that. I understand that. But this passing game, from a creativity standpoint, from a even consistency standpoint, they don't have to be the greatest, you know, show on turf like the Rams were. They don't sure. have to be, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs of 2 years ago. But they need to be consistent, you know, every week. And they haven't been that. From a passing standpoint, there hasn't been no consistency with the play calling, with the play, the receivers, just no consistency whatsoever.
Yeah, look, I would make a change at offensive coordinator.
Yeah?
I would. I would move on from
But you
Todd
took
Downing.
That ability away from him to
right
make
now,
that change
yeah.
right now,
yeah,
if he wanted
but,
to.
But
he's not going to make it
right.
anyway. Yeah,
I didn't think he'd do
yeah,
it.
He wouldn't do it
anyway.
No.
Which is a little surprising, because he brought in Tim Kelly to be mm-hmm. the passing game coordinator, and Tim Kelly's his buddy.
Yeah.
So that is interesting. Keith on Twitter says, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Vrabel hires his coaches and not Amy. That is true. Now, what I don't know is how much of an influence John would have had in that, because mm-hmm. the GM, sometimes the GM, the front office, has a say in the coordinators, especially when a coach is hired for the first time. Now, I know Vrabel's gone through three coordinators, because mm-hmm. two of them have left to get
head coaching jobs.
So
yeah.
I would assume that was all on Vrabel, mm-hmm. but I don't know what the arrangement was there.
But I'm not. But again, this is Amy's team, right?
Sure.
And if Amy's going,
but I don't
to
want
the,
her hiring coordinators.
No. I'm not talking about hiring anybody. She's not going to hire coaches. But what I'm saying is, she comes here every week, whether, you know, a home games, and I'm sure she's at the away games as well. And she's watching this offense, and she's watched this offense over the course of the last year and a half. And in a year and a half, this offense has not gotten better. So as a owner, don't I have the right to walk to my coach and say, hey, listen, what's going on with this offense? You know, is that guy that you hire, is he the right guy for the job? What do you plan on doing? How do you plan on getting this offense better? What's going on here? She has that right because she's the owner. And if she want to hire somebody, hell, she can hire somebody if she want to. That may not be the smartest thing, you know, but it's her team. You know, the same way people scream, it's her team. She can fire the GM. Well, it's her team. She can hire and fire whoever the hell she wants to. Now, would it be the wisest thing? Probably not. But she has the ability to do that. You know, yeah. Just like she has the ability to walk downstairs and say, listen, what's going on with our offense? Why hasn't it gotten better in the last year and a half?
She does. She does for sure. We'll bring Willie into the fold. Also have our NFL zingers. We'll do that coming up next. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.